Good morning, church. Good morning. What a blessing it is to see this goodly number here come to fellowship one with another. I am very appreciative of this opportunity to address you on this morning, and hopefully after the message, you will be enlightened and uplifted. My topic is my citizenship. The theme for this year's Carolina Men's Fellowship is, of course, God Bless America. America is, in fact, a blessed nation. She can be categorized as such for many reasons, too many to cite and elaborate on at this time. Not only is the nation known as America blessed, but I must state without fear of successful contradiction that I am blessed as well. I am blessed because the great God of heaven saw fit to allow me to come into existence and to be a citizen of this great nation, a nation of freedom and opportunity, a nation of liberty and prosperity, a nation that recognizes talent, skill, and hard work, a nation of free expression and freedom of religion, a nation where a man of African-American descent and humble beginnings can rise to be our 44th president. Not only is the nation called America blessed, but I am blessed also. And if you're honest with yourself, you are too. To be sure, I am appreciative and grateful to be an American citizen, to be able to enjoy all the liberties and freedoms that appertain to me as a citizen of this great country. However, we must at this time focus on what is truly most important. We must at this time call a spade and tell it like it is. For I am truly blessed and highly favored, not because of my citizenship in America, but because of my citizenship in the kingdom of God, Amen. The church of Christ. Amen. Not too long ago, I had the privilege to introduce my father, who was being inducted into the Illinois High School Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. It was a wonderful event. He was beaming with pride, and I, as his son, was able to partake in that very special and august occasion. And now he is part of a select group. But compared to his membership in the Hall of Fame, my citizenship stands head and shoulders above that. Because while I may not be written on the rolls of the Hall of Fame in the state of Illinois, my name is written on high. As a citizen of the kingdom, I have the best benefit package known to mankind, because I have all spiritual blessings which can only be found in Christ Jesus. I have salvation. I am chosen, Ephesians 1 verse 4. I have sonship, Ephesians 1 verse 5. I have acceptance, Ephesians 1 verse 6. I have redemption and the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1 verse 7. I have equality in Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 10. I have the seal of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1 13. And I have an inheritance, Ephesians 1 verse 11 and verse number 13. And if you're in Christ, if you have citizenship in the kingdom of God, the church, you have these benefits too. What is the definition of citizenship? Citizenship can be defined as the relationship between an individual and a state, in the which the individual owes allegiance to the state and in turn is entitled to its protection. But let's focus on the words relationship and allegiance. My citizenship in the kingdom of God is based on my relationship with the risen Savior. It is not based upon what my last name is. It is not based upon who my parents are. It is not based upon my downtown connections, as if I had any. It is not based upon my social status. It is not based upon where I live. It is not based upon where I work or how many people I supervise. My citizenship in the kingdom of God is based on a birth. In John 3:3-5, Christ said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I know the Lord, and he knows me. I know this to be true because I have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered me. Being then made free from sin, I became the servant of righteousness. Upon my obedience to the gospel, I was given the Holy Spirit. Acts 5 and verse 29 says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to all them that obey him. And any man that does not have the Spirit of Christ, the Bible says, he is none of his. My relationship to the Lord is precious to me, and it should be precious to you also. It should be so because Jesus bore it all, and he paid it all. He paid a debt we owe, yet could not pay. His atoning death on the cross paved the way for a relationship with the Godhead once we believed and obeyed the gospel. John 1, 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, what does my relationship with Christ obligate me to? What does my relationship with Christ, what does that mean in terms of what I owe him? My relationship with Christ, and by implication, my citizenship in the kingdom, obligates me to put God first. Said another way, my allegiance, first and foremost, is not to the nation of America, but my allegiance, first and foremost, is to the great God of heaven. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God must be first because he's not about to be second. And what the verse is really saying is, seek first to be ruled, to be reigned, to be governed by God. And that is our highest and best use. I don't care what laws they make. I don't care what political party says what. I don't care about the fiscal cliff. I don't care what the president says. I'm going to put God first. And when the laws of this nation conflict with the laws of Christ, my obligation is to Christ and to Christ only. Among other things, this verse tells me that my citizenship in the kingdom obligates me. It requires me to serve at the pleasure of the king. What does this mean, actually? It means that when the king says, worship in spirit and in truth, I say my pleasure. When the king says, enter ye in at the straight gate, I say my pleasure. When the king says, judge not that ye be not judged, I say my pleasure. When the king says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, I say my pleasure. When the king says, don't sound the trumpet when you do alms, I say my pleasure. When the king says, let your light so shine before men, I say my pleasure. When the king says, give and it shall be given to you, I say my pleasure. When the king says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, I say my pleasure. When the king says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, I say my pleasure. When the king says, go forth and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, I say my pleasure. When the king says, go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I say my pleasure. When the king says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, I say, my pleasure. What does my citizenship in the kingdom obligate me to do? It obligates me to serve at the pleasure of the king. When we as Americans, and especially as members of the Church of Christ, embrace the fact that it's not about where you live, but about how you live, we will be a better nation and a stronger, more spiritual church that begins to look like the Church of Christ. In my conclusion, I'm a big movie buff, and I was watching a particular movie. I was at the end of a battle scene where few were standing against many, and one of their number had been mortally wounded, and the king at that time was comforting him as his life slipped away from him. But as the man who was mortally wounded began to utter his last words, he says something very powerful to the king. He said, King, I would have followed you to the end, my brother, my captain, my king. I wonder how many of us, as members of the Church of Christ, will say to Christ, I will follow you to the end, my brother, my captain, my king. Thank you.